Last week I was listening to NPR and they had a feature on an epidemic of loneliness among men in America. They said that there's a lot of men, especially older men, who really don't have any friends. They had a survey where they asked men, if something really drastic happened to your life, do you have someone that you could share that with? And a lot of men said, not really. There's no male friend that I have that I can go to like that. Women tend to have, you know, more networks of support and friendship, but men can get isolated. And so they interviewed a fella who, he said that he grew up in a neighborhood where all the kids would come home from school and they would check in with their parents, their mom at home, and then they'd go outside to play with all the other kids in the neighborhood. And so everyone in the neighborhood were friends. They could play tag, capture the flag, and, or whatever they're playing outside, and they just shared everything in their lives together. He said it was such a feeling of togetherness. Then when he was about 10 or 11, they moved to a new city. And in the new neighborhood, it wasn't as easy to find friends. And it was tougher for him. And then after a couple of years, they moved again. And again, it was hard for him to find friends in his neighborhood. And then they moved again, and after a while he just sort of quit trying because he knew that if he made friends, he'd lose them anyway when they moved the next time. He did well in life. He went to college. He got a law degree, had a law practice, was married, had a child. But things happen, and got a divorce, single for a while, got married a second time. That ended in divorce, and he found himself really becoming pretty isolated. He had acquaintances at work. I mean, you can talk to people at work, but after work, everybody goes home. And he didn't have really anyone he could call a friend. He got so lonely, he said, that he would come home and he would hug the post for the stairway. And he said, I get to realizing that anybody who is hugging a post for companionship has got some troubles. And he began to reach out and to try to find friendship and companionship. Well, when I was listening to that story, I was thinking about our Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah. And I was thinking, do you think God ever gets lonely? Now, of course, we don't think of God as lonely. God is in heaven with all the angels. God has lots and lots of companions in heaven. But, you know, it's not the same talking to an angel as it is to someone who's more like you. And it looks like in our reading from Jeremiah that God is lonely. God says, I made a covenant with Israel, but they broke it. You know, we think of the first covenant as the covenant that God made with Moses on Mount Sinai, gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone. Moses carried them down the mountain, and he says to the people, if you keep these laws, then God will be your God, and you will be God's people. That was the first covenant. Covenant is another word for relationship. God entered into a relationship with the people of Israel there on Mount Sinai. But now God says they broke the covenant. As time has gone on, the people of Israel are not obeying the laws anymore. God says they broke the covenant even though I was their husband. God sees himself as married to the people of Israel. They are his bride and he is the husband of the people. And now they've broken the marriage bond. It's like a divorce between God and his people. And now God is lonely and he wants to renew the covenant. So God reaches out. He says, I will make a new covenant with Israel. But this time it's going to be different. The old covenant was written on tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know, the thing about the Ten Commandments is that they are external. They're imposed on you from outside. And a lot of people don't do real well when they have rules imposed on them from outside. And the people of Israel were no exception. They had trouble with that. Thou shalt have no other gods. All right, no other gods, except when there's a drought and the crops aren't coming in, and maybe we could pray to the God of rain. Wouldn't hurt anyway. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath. Well, yeah, we'll keep the Sabbath, but if there's an occasion where I might make a little money from selling some grain on the Sabbath, well, that wouldn't be so bad, would it? So the old covenant didn't work so well. That old relationship was not working so well. And now God wants to try again. This is like plan B. Plan A was the covenant on Mount Sinai. This is plan B, the new covenant that God is going to institute using the prophet Jeremiah. He says, I will make a new covenant with Judah and Israel, not like the old covenant, but I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. In other words, there will be a new relationship established. And this time it's not physical, it's not tablets of stone, but it's spiritual. It's written on the heart. And some people say, everything that's physical in the Old Testament has got a spiritual parallel in the New Testament. And the difference is between something that's external and something that's internal is that you do something because you want to, not because you have to. You know, if I'm told that I have to mow the lawn because the homeowner's agreement says I have to, then I do it grudgingly. But if I want to mow the lawn because I love the way it looks, then I do it with a joyful heart. Complete difference in my motivation. So God says, I will put my law within their hearts, and they will follow my ways because they want to, not because they have to. And their relationship will be restored again, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and I won't be lonely anymore. You know, scholars say that Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, anticipates the message of Jesus by about 5 centuries. Because they had a similar message. Jesus said the same thing. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. The law is within you. I think a lot of people today are turned off by religion because it's so judgmental. You know, if you do X, Y, and Z, then you're going to go to hell. And that sounds like the old covenant. Thou shalt not. And it's an external law that's coming from outside, and people don't want to hear that. But when the law is written within our heart, then obedience becomes easy, and it becomes a joyful thing. True religion comes from inside, not from outside. There's a big difference. I go to church because I want to, not because I have to. On our Wednesday night program, we're studying Richard Rohr, and we were listening to a tape of his last Wednesday. And he said that God gave us free will because he wanted to be freely loved. Not loved out of fear or guilt or shame. Richard says that if you threaten people into belief, then the product is not love, it's conformity. And Christianity has become a school of conformity instead of a school for love, which it should be. So religion today, I think, needs a new covenant. A covenant written on the heart. And in a world in which more and more people are feeling separated from each other and lonely, the church is called to be this school of love. You know, at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup of wine and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." He was making a new covenant. And when he gave us the blood of the Eucharist, the wine of the Eucharist, he was giving us a new covenant that was planted in our hearts from within. And we say that every Sunday to remind ourselves that the most important thing is our relationship with God, the covenant that comes from within. Is God ever lonely? I don't think so. Not as long as there are two or three that love him with all their hearts and with all their minds. Amen.